discouragement, but we are standing on faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And that's what we're standing on here at Calvary Gospel. And I want to encourage you this morning that it wasn't ironic that we're teaching five series, five messages, and the title is Same God, Different Season. And we're going through a different season. And so you can see those, you can listen to those online, and if you go to our website. So the title of our message this morning is Setbacks Are Stepping Stones to Success. And we've been doing this series. This is the second part of the series, and we've been talking about Joseph. And Joseph was to become one of God's greatest leaders, not because he got all the breaks. Joseph was faithful. He went through much adversity. See, sometimes we think that we watch people and they're being favored by God or even being favored by man. And we say, oh, well, they're getting all the breaks. You know, it's because they have this, they have that, they have an education, or they live in the right place, or they met the right person. But all that is God ordained. God is ordaining your steps. And we are all under construction. You don't not have to be perfect for God to use you. As you serve Him, He will continue to mold you into the person He's created you to be. It's not about breaks, it's about God's favor. It's not about a coincidence, it's about God's hand bringing everything to you to give you favor and prosper you where God has placed you. And that's the story of Joseph. God had a divine purpose for Joseph, yet he never seemed to waver in his faith. Joseph kept his eyes on God. What an encouragement that is to us. Let God use you where you are. Let Him use you in the hard times. Let Him use you in the good times. Because God wants to create you more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to read today from Genesis 39, 1 through 6. That'll be our passage, great passage. And it's going to lead us right into what God has for us today. So Genesis 39, 1 through 6. It starts off with, "Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph." I want you to read this slowly and hear these words. "The Lord was with Joseph and became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate." Wow. A lot of words there, a lot of scripture, but I want to point out a couple things this morning to us in this time. That it's the same God. It's the same God from Genesis all the way to Revelation, but we're all going to be in different seasons of our life, and Joseph was in a different season of his life. And when you go to Joseph's brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, who sold him to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, captain of the guard. And I like, we're going to start off with verse 2 again. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." All that Joseph went through, the first thing we see, that God was with Joseph. God never left Joseph. God had prepared him for what he was preparing for him. And so all that time, God was with him. See, when things are going bad, we feel God has left us or we did something wrong. God never leaves us or forsakes us. We misinterpret seasons of trials as God is distant. God is not distant from us. Psalm 34, 17 through 18. Great passage. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. You may be crushed in spirit today. You may have a broken heart. But my God saves. My God delivers. My God heals. We sang about it. Awesome worship. Entering in worship and just realizing that it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. In Psalm 23:6, we all know this verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not some of the days, not a half a day, not just in the morning, not just in the evening, not just in the middle of the day, but all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our opportunity that we have, that we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My first point that I want us to see in this passage is God's prosperity defies logic. See, when God goes to work in your life, it's not going to look like human affairs. It's not going to look like the world would see or even create. When God comes into your life and He's placed you someplace to prosper you, to give you favor, to move you forward, to walk with you, it defies all logic of the world. Because we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. So God was placing him where he needed to be to prosper. See, sometimes we don't realize, God, what am I doing here? Why did you put me here? You know, how is this going to benefit me or my family? How am I going to be a witness in my workplace? How am I going to glorify you? But God has a bigger plan for you. And he's got the greatest plan for you. And you think of Joseph. He's actually a slave. He's actually becomes a prisoner down the road. And God is with him, though. He's placing him where he's going to prosper him. God wants to prosper you where you are. And sometimes we're always trying to get out of where we are. God can prosper you anywhere he places you. That's the key. Where he places you, you are going to prosper. See, we prosper when we allow God to have his way in every part of our life. God prospers us. See, this was at a time in Joseph's life when he was serving as a slave. See, we don't think that, oh, I'm in this prison. Maybe you're not physically behind bars. Maybe you're in a prison of health. Maybe you're a prison of finances, a prison of relationships, a prison of hurt, a prison of offense. You know, we can be in a lot of prisons. Joseph was in almost all those prisons. You know, he didn't see his father anymore. His brother sold him, threw him in a pit, left him to die. I mean, he was in all kinds of prisons. Even as a slave, God prospered him where he was. His own brothers had sold him, like I said, into slavery and told his father he was dead. No longer the wealthy, well-dressed, favorite son, Joseph found himself on an auction block in a foreign land. Stripped of everything, including his clothes. Sometimes you may feel that way. God's prosperity defies the logic of Joseph's circumstances. And I want to say that personally to us. God's prosperity defies the logic of your circumstances today. Though changed in condition, Joseph was not changed in spirit. Hey, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. That same Spirit will quicken our mortal bodies. It's that same Spirit. Though our condition may be changed, our spirit is unchanged. Hallelujah. Praise God. Though stripped of all his beauty, his coat of many colors that had adorned him, though separated from his father on earth, he still lived in communion with his father in heaven. Hallelujah. Though in the house of an idolater, he continued as a worshiper of the true God. See, sometimes we use a lot of excuses like, well, how can I worship here? You know, people are ridiculing me, persecuting me. You know, I'm going to be laughed at. Now, here's Joseph. He's in a house of a non-believer. He's in a house of an idolater who's not even worshiping Joseph's God. But Joseph continued to worship. And you may be in a time when you say, how can anything good come out of this. God views prosperity much different than we do. Material things are not the sole meaning of prosperity. See, sometimes we use that word prosperity and we think it's all about money. It's all about getting the next promotion, getting the next job, having the next bigger house, you know, getting the boat or the new car. You can have all those things. But the word in Hebrew, that prosperity, it's a meaning to advance, to prosper, to make progress, to succeed. God wants to move you continually through your trials, through your circumstances, that the world would crumble underneath awe, but God is going to prosper you. He's going to move you forward in everything that He's called you to do. And I want, when you read that word prosperity, it's not all about money. It's all about God placing you someplace and in a circumstances where you feel like this would be the wrong place. How is God ever going to do anything? But when we read about Joseph, he prospered where he was. He moved forward. He advanced. He made progress. And you'll see later in Scripture, if you continue to read on Joseph, that he became second in command and he still worshiped his God. Praise God. True prosperity. This is true prosperity, not what the world tells you prosperity is. True prosperity is knowing that God is with you. Isn't that awesome? To know that God never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's true prosperity, knowing that God is with you, keeping His vision alive in your heart. God's favor and power at work in your life. That is true prosperity. That's what Joseph had. He had a relationship with his God. His faith didn't waver, even in the times that we're going through. I want you to really hear this word, that even in the times that we are going through, we as believers can prosper where God puts us. And it may look discouraging. The world may be in fear, but we still walk in faith. Praise God. Joseph believed he was prosperous because he knew prosperity came from God and not from man. You know, and I want to ask you that question this morning. Where is your prosperity coming from? Because if it's coming from God, He will place you in places that maybe you feel uncomfortable, but God wants to advance you. He wants to make you more like His Son, Jesus. And He wants you to be a great witness. See, I believe two things is that all things, the Scripture says, all things work together for the good of those who are walking with Jesus, who are in love with God. For those, good things for all of us. And the second thing is that everything is to be God glorified, to glorify God. And that's how we live our life. All the things, everything that we're going through today, everything, all the circumstances that are hitting us and bombarding us, all things work together for good for those who love God. And God will be glorified in all things. God will be glorified in this season. See, He didn't just give us love and power and a sound mind just to give us love. He gave us love to love our community. He gave us love to love our church. He gave us love to love our neighbor. He gave us love to understand a relationship with God. See, we love God because the Bible says He first loved us. So then He gives us power to be able to move in these circumstances. Wherever we may be, He gives us the power. See, when Jesus left this earth, He says, I give you authority to cast out demons and pray and heal the sick and go make disciples. He's given us this authority. He's given us the power. We don't have to look at circumstances and say, well, we don't have the power. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. He's given us that authority. That authority has been given us through Jesus Christ, and that lives inside of you and I. And the last part of that verse I like, He's given us a sound mind, and that's a self-disciplined mind. And that gives us the opportunity to say, we're going to make Christ-based biblical decisions. We're not going to wonder what to do. We're not going to ask the world what they're doing. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, to love our community, to love our neighbor, to love our church, to bring love to our family. And he's given us a he's given us the power to be able to do that through the Holy Spirit. But then he gives us a sound mind. We need to discern where God is, even in this circumstances right now, even in this time with this coronavirus. God is in the middle of it. He's in the middle of it. He's still in the middle of it. He's still the God of the heavens. He's still the God of the nations. He still delivers. He's still powerful. Nothing has changed about him. And I always tell my family, you know, when our kids were growing up and they would go through things, I would say, find Jesus in the middle, because Jesus is still in the middle of all these circumstances. And church, I want to encourage you. Jesus has never left us. Jesus is still going to be glorified in this situation. Hallelujah. But he gives us a sound mind. He gives us a disciplined mind. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to fear. You know, we quote scripture and we just use scripture, but now we got to apply that scripture to our heart, to our mind. We need to be transformed. The Bible says, renew your mind daily, not weekly. Not monthly, or when we have a trial or a circumstance comes up and so I better renew my mind today. No, he says renew your mind daily. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the middle of all the circumstances, and we need to find where he is and continue to walk with him. That scripture really is hitting me, and he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. See, we can quote that scripture. Well, okay, Pastor, what do I do with that? I know I'm repeating myself, but I want you to catch this, church, and all the friends that are watching, anyone who's watching, that he's given us the power. He's given us the sound mind, and he's given you love to be able to walk through all circumstances. I want you to catch that. Because Joseph walked through that. Joseph could have said, wow, I could fear prison, I could fear discouragement, I could fear people that are against me, I could fear all these things, I could fear how my brothers are treating me, I could fear, but Joseph walked in power, in faith, and in love, and he walked with a sound mind. His mind was disciplined with God. And so number two, what I want to talk about, and you say, well, Pastor, how did Joseph walk through these things? We're going to talk about integrity. He maintained a godly integrity. Church, we have to have integrity. You know, and they always say integrity is not what you're doing on the outside. Integrity is what you do when no one is watching you. And that's where we have to be in our lives. When we're home, when we're alone, or we're maybe just when we're just with our family or our spouse, and how we treat each other. And integrity isn't when you walk outside and everybody falls in love with you and says, oh man, isn't he or she, you know, they're just such a great person. They're always happy. They're joyful. They always got a word for me. But then they go home, talk to their spouse, talk to their children. And so I want to encourage us that we have to move in godly integrity. Joseph's master soon appointed him manager over his entire house, recognizing that the favor and the presence of God was on his life. I want to ask you this question. Does the world know that the favor and the love and the power of the presence of God is on your life? That is the key. Do you reflect his presence? Let's read Genesis. It's 39. Let's go to verse 6. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. Now remember, Joseph's a servant. Joseph was, you know, his brothers left him for dead. His brothers told his father that he's dead. Now he's sold into slavery, and now he's in an Egyptian ruler's home. And so the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Here is a ruler Here's a ruler, Egyptian ruler, and he's given everything over to Joseph. Here's Joseph. He was brought in as a slave. You talk about God prospering you, giving him favor in all that he's doing, but how he got that favor is that he walked in integrity. Church, we have to walk in integrity, and especially at these times now when the world is not walking in integrity. When the world is walking in selfishness and climbing the corporate ladder and doing anything they can to move forward for themselves. But Joseph walked in integrity, and we're going to talk about integrity a little bit. See, people need to see something different in you. They need to see something different in you. 1 Chronicles 29:17. It says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with uprightness, which means integrity. See, integrity begins in our heart. We must ask God to examine our hearts and show us what is questionable. See, we're afraid to go to God. We're afraid to go to God and say, God, hey, there may be some things questionable in my heart. There may be some things not lining up with you, God. And we're afraid to do that because sometimes we feel God will get angry with us, or we won't measure up to how God is viewing us. But I want to encourage you today that God wants us to come to Him. God is encouraging us to say, you need to allow me to examine your heart. What is in question in your heart? What are some things that need to be cut away? What are some things that need to be renewed? We have to be renewed. We have to allow God. God is not in the business to hammer us over the head. He's not angry with us when we do something wrong. He's a loving God. He's a loving God. He wants to move us forward. He wants to prosper us in His relationship with Him. Integrity, it's a character builder. See, it's granted to you by someone or a group of people. You don't just take integrity. You know, integrity is given to you by the people that surround you, that know you, that walk with you. See, we don't like to have to work at something that we feel we're entitled to. See, integrity is not an entitlement. Entitlement means the feeling or belief that you deserve to be given something. Joseph never felt he was entitled to anything, but he had integrity. We're not entitled to it. We get to have God's love and His grace and His mercy because of what God and through His Son, Jesus Christ, what He has done. That's what we have been given through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to walk in that integrity. We're not entitled to something just because, hey, I'm a Christian or I believe in God, so I should just, you know, never have anything go wrong with me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, walk in integrity. Walk in holiness. Walk in righteousness. So integrity is influence without a title. Think about it. Joseph didn't have a title. Joseph was a slave. He was in, and you'll see, he goes to prison for something he never even did. And so integrity is influence. How did he gain all this influence without a title? He was never a ruler. He was never a king because he walked in God's favor and his life was committed and dedicated to God. Do we need a title to serve people? Do we need a title to love people? Do we need a title to raise up leaders? Do we need a title to be a mentor? God's called us to do all those things, and we get to do those things through His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't need a title of pastor to go love someone. I don't need a title of pastor to go visit someone in a hospital. I don't need a title of anything to go serve, and you don't need a title to go serve in the church, to go love people, to go encourage people, to go pray for people. Be a man and woman of integrity. Here's another verse. Integrity protects you. You don't have to fear things. Psalm 25:21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. See, preserve means to guard, watch over, keep from danger. Integrity is proactive. It walks before you. See, if you have integrity, it goes before you. People see that. People want to surround themselves around a man or a woman who's walking in integrity. It guards you. It watches over you. It goes before you. Integrity provides you with security. Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. So integrity brings security. These are all things that Joseph had to walk through. This is what Joseph learned. You know, people ask me, well, how did Joseph get to this point? You know, show me how Joseph, how can we do this? How can we do this in life right now? And walking in integrity is one of the key things that we need to do. It brings us security. It protects us. It walks before us. In security, that word means confidence. So whoever walks in integrity walks in confidence. Not proud, but in confidence that they know that my God, our God, is going before us. Your God is going before you. Your God is walking with you. Hallelujah. Integrity provides a firm foundation. Integrity provides you with guidance, better decision-making. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The integrity of the upright will guide you. It makes, it gives us, it's that word of self-discipline, a self-disciplined mind, self-control. Integrity will give you self-control. So how did Joseph walk through all these things? First of all, God's prosperity, his moving you forward, is not the logical way that the world is going to see. God's prosperity is not logical. It's totally different than the world. We should be different than the world because we have a supernatural God. We have Jesus Christ living inside of us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Bible says he dwells in us. And that word dwells means he inhabits. He's made his home in us. And that is what guides us. And the Holy Spirit, in the Bible, it says the Holy Spirit empowers us. It guides us. It teaches us. It empowers us. It shows us the way. So Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. This is how Joseph walked through his life with integrity, godly integrity. So I encourage us as a church, and as I finish this message up here, here's a takeaway that I want to leave with you, a couple takeaways. God had not abandoned Joseph. Always remember that. God has never abandoned you. God was leading Joseph through his setbacks to fulfillment of his dreams. See, God wants to fulfill the dream that he has given you. God wants to fulfill the vision that he's given you. God wants to fulfill the word that he's given you. Any word that God has given you, even if you're just reading the scripture and it pops out at you and say, man, that's a word for me. God is speaking to you. And he will establish that word, and he will guard that word, and he will grow that word, and he will put rain on it, and he'll put sunshine on it, and he'll put fertilizer on it. He will grow you where you need to grow, even in places where you think you can't grow. My God will grow you. And so God had not abandoned Joseph. God was leading Joseph through his setbacks to fulfillment of his dreams. See, Jesus was rejected by his brothers and nailed to a cross. His followers were heartbroken, thinking his mission had failed. It was a huge setback in their minds. Just think of that. You may be going through that right now. But the cross was the very thing God used to save us from our sins. The cross, which has brought confusion. What is brought, just like people can't fathom, the cross, just the cross, has used to save us from our sins. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of God in the place of authority, and he has given that power and authority to you and I. See, we feel there's setbacks. We feel like when people, you're not friends with us anymore, or someone offends you, or someone walks away from you, or you're in a broken relationship, you're in a time in your life where you just feel like, you know, Jesus was there. But God used the thing of the cross to bring us back to him. The cross. Can you imagine that? It looked it looked hopeless, but it never was hopeless because it was all God's plan. I want to encourage you this morning. How can you allow God to use you in your current situation to prosper you? Because God wants to prosper you. God wants to move you forward. God wants to create you and to have you look more and more like His Son Jesus. He wants to put you in a place where the world sees that you can go through the same things that they're going through, but you handle it with integrity. You handle it differently. You handle it with faith. You don't handle it with fear. You don't handle it with discouragement, but you handle it with hope. You have a Savior, hallelujah, that you're going to. You have a God that cares for you. You have a God that loves you. And the last question, what attitudes or beliefs are holding you back from moving forward towards your destiny? What things are stopping you? Maybe it's yourself. Maybe, you know, you have walked down a road that you don't belong. You know, maybe you've done things that you have veered off the path of Jesus. That's okay. Jesus is going to bring you back. Jesus wants to bring you back. Jesus has never left you. The farther you walk, just the closer Jesus comes. The farther you walk, the closer Jesus comes. Jesus is always there. And so I want to leave you with that this morning. In this situation that we're going through, John 15:5 says, Jesus says, whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, Joseph had an image on the inside that was not affected by the outside. Think about that. He had an image of God. He had a faith that was so powerful that it didn't matter what was happening on the outside. And Joseph served others and ministered wholeheartedly to their needs. God blessed the work of his hands. See, we have that same power on the inside of us. The same Spirit, like I said, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. We have to see ourselves as God sees you. God sees you as prosperous, regardless of your circumstances. God is working on the inside, not on the outside. Before the outside ever changes in any one of us, it changes from the inside. See, we focus too much on trying to stop doing something on the outside. And Jesus says, you can't do it without me. Jesus is working on your inside. He's working on your heart. I'm going to read John 15:5 one more time, and then we're going to close. Jesus said, whoever abides in me. See, Joseph abided in his God. And I in him, God abided in him, bears much fruit. And apart from me, you and I can do nothing. I encourage us this morning. I encourage us, stay abided in the vine. Stay abided in Jesus. Jesus is our only answer. Even in this time, Jesus is our only answer. He's still in the middle of this situation. And I'm so glad because we don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. Our eyes are still on God here at Calvary Gospel. And here in this church, and I know that I just want to encourage the church, I want to encourage who's ever watching, you know, you may be going through a Joseph experience, but Joseph experienced an awesome experience through God, and you can experience that same thing today. And I just want to close with this. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're saying, Pastor, I don't even know this Jesus. It's a simple prayer. It's calling out to God and say, hey, Jesus, I want to have this faith where I'm not discouraged, where I want to know that I'm walking securely with you. It's very simple. Just acknowledging that we all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God through the fall of Adam and Eve. That's why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. He's forgiven you of your sins. He went in the tomb, and 3 days later, he is risen. See, our basis for salvation is because our Jesus has risen. Resurrection, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. When you acknowledge that in your life, you have received Jesus Christ, and now walk in him. And I want to give you that opportunity before we close. If that is you, in your home, wherever you may be, just say, Lord, I need you. I acknowledge that to walk this life out, I cannot do it without you in my life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for the love that you have for me. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming back to take me home to eternity. Simple. It's a simple call. It's a simple prayer. If you did that, if you called on that, if you asked that, you have just received Jesus Christ in your life. You now are a son and a daughter of the Most High. And we just welcome you into the family of God. You are adopted into the family. If you don't have a church to go to, if you're watching and you don't have a church, Calvary Gospel is open to have you come and be a part of what we're doing. And if you have a church that you feel you need to go to, you want to go to, go see your pastor. Let them know that you've just committed your life to Jesus Christ. Thank you for watching. Again, a reminder, we'll be live next week. Same time at 10:30. I want to thank our worship team and for just, you know, entering into worship, giving us a time to like till up the ground so this word could just be planted in your hearts. God bless you. We love you and have a blessed day.